Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Isaiah. I want to begin with something Pastor began 2 weeks ago with. And I want to look at this scripture. I want to show you some things that I saw during that service and then that I've seen since I've been meditating since then. But before we do, I want to pray real quick. Okay, let's pray. Lord, You knew this day, You knew this time, You knew this moment, You knew this word before the foundation of the world. You knew that life would do what life has done, good and bad, to bring each of us today to this place with our attitudes, with our character, our integrity, with our hopes, with our fears and our failures, with our strengths, with our weaknesses, with our successes, with whatever has been. You knew before the foundation of the world that at such a time as this, we would be a group of people that You would bring together and that we would call ourselves the church. Sometimes, Lord, we look at ourselves and we don't see the church. Sometimes, Lord, we look at ourselves and we wonder what it is we're looking at. Sometimes, Lord, we come together and we sing songs about shouting unto You and we experience an atmosphere that's so different from what this world has to offer. And it drives us more closer and closer to be with You and to be with Your people. Lord, if we look at this word today, I ask You, Lord, cause me somehow to keep my opinions out of it. Cause me somehow to keep my thoughts and my attitudes and all that out of it, Lord. God, help me to submit to the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a pastor, to release this word according to Your will and Your way. We look to You, Lord. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Not me and not anybody else in this room. You are. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind, what You started, You will complete. And that for such a time as this, we get to walk in it together. And we thank You for that. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Lord, that we'll not just be hearers, but we choose to be doers. That when we walk out of this place, we don't say, well, I've done my religious duty for the week. But Lord, that we've received our orders for the week. And that we will walk out of here and take what You did today and make it a part of evangelism, make it a part of the victory, make it a part of the witness, make it a part of everything that You have for us. And everybody that agreed with me said amen and amen. You know, sometimes I hate it when preachers preach and pray. But I have stirred this in my spirit for 2 weeks. And I am probably going to cry all the way through this. Because I am so stirred in my spirit. And I want you to know. Each of you to know. That I don't understand all the reasons why life has done what life has done to each of us. But whatever it's done, it brought us today to this place. The good, the bad, and the ugly, it brought us together in this place. God knew before the world was even created that you would be sitting in the seat you're sitting in today. God knew before the foundation of the world that I would be standing in front of you. As I prayed, with all our strengths, with all our weaknesses, with all our successes, with all our failures. And I want you to hear something from my heart, if you can hear this morning. Because this is what God's been speaking to me for the last couple of weeks. There's no doubt in my mind God's doing something so supernatural, most of us cannot comprehend it. Let me say that again. I believe that God is doing something in our midst that is so supernatural, most of us cannot comprehend it. I am so expectant in my faith that I'm just every Sunday when I look around and I see who's here, I'm just wondering who's going to be a part of it. Who's going to be a part of it? Who's going to choose to press through whatever it is we have to press through? There have been times when I thought, you know, I think I'll just go somewhere else. It'd be closer. It'll be more convenient. It'll be easier. But I made a commitment to my pastor. I made a commitment to my friend that I'd be here. And so I press through those inklings, those thoughts. Some of them come from my flesh. Some of them come straight from the pit of hell. But I press through it and I show up. And I'm not moved by who is and who is not here. I'm not moved by what is or what is not done or what is or what is not said. Because I'm expecting on the inside, Teresa, that I know that God's doing something in our midst that's way bigger than most of us can even start to begin to comprehend. 2 weeks ago, Pastor shared a vision sermon. A vision sermon. If you don't have a copy of that sermon, or if you were not here, then I encourage you to make sure that you do whatever it takes to get a copy of that sermon. Because I believe it was foundational for the future of this place. That it was a foundational layer of importance that we must get as a people in order to be available, ready, and a part of what God's doing and going to do. And I encourage you to make sure you get that sermon and you get that word. Because you see, the time is short. Jesus is coming. He said, they've been saying that for generations. They've been saying that for thousands of years now. Guess what? We're that much closer today than we've ever been. We're that much closer today than we've ever been. And church, God is doing something in the body of Christ today to get her prepared for the final chapter. Let me say it this way. God's already done what it takes, but He's looking for a people who get ready to line up with what He's done. He's looking for a people who are ready to get lined up with what He's done. And it's not going to look like what the church has looked like in the last 2,000 years. That's going to be the hardest thing for a lot of people. Because God's bringing together now a people who will say, just as you are, come. Just as you are to worship, come. And you see that old thing of, well, you did this week, you said this week, you thought this week, you acted like this week. Sometimes it's not this week, sometimes it's this morning. And the enemy says, look at what you've been doing, look at the way you've been living, look at your failures, look at your whatevers, look at this, look at that. You of all people don't deserve to be in there. But see, we press through that thing and say, bless God, I'm not coming here because of that. I got to read the scripture. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Pastor read this the other week, something just exploded on the inside of me. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Can you imagine what that must have been like to be in a place that you could see the Lord sitting on the throne? Do you know that dreams and visions are part of the language of God? And there was a vision here. And I want you to know, we need to be ready to start having dreams and visions from God. And just as this was seen that day, some of us are going to be able to experience, maybe not necessarily away from here, but even in the presence of this place, dreams and visions, where we're going to see the Lord on the throne. Because you see, the attention, what we need to understand, that the attention that we need to see is not about me and it's not about you. It's about the one who's on the throne. And there's something that goes on when we begin to see who's on the throne that changes everything in our atmosphere, and it begins to change the very core of who we are. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And it said, above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Now I want you to hear this next verse. And one cried to another. The seraphims are crying one to the other. One would call this out, and then the other would call this out. This was around the throne. And they were calling, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, I was thinking about this, and maybe no one else has this kinds of thoughts. Maybe it's just me. But I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, it just seems kind of, this may interrupt some people this morning, but it just seems kind of egotistical of God to have this being said around his throne. And I was thinking, God, I know you better than that. You're not egotistical. You don't need that to be said. And this is what happened. This is what I heard. That there's something about the very throne of God that no matter what is in his presence, that's what comes out. There's something about being in the presence of God that you've got to cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. There's something about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's something about God our Father that when we get into his presence, then all other things don't matter. What happened this week? What happened last year? What happened when you were a child? What happened when you were 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 12-year-old, 16-years-old, 30-years-old, 50-years-old, 60-years-old, 70, 80, 90? Whatever happened does not matter. What happens is we're coming to a place to be at the very throne room of God Almighty. And it, whatever has happened stands aside because something inside of me has to cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And I'm so amazed that the songs that we picked, that Pastor picked today for us to sing, lined up perfectly with what God's speaking in my spirit. I know I'm coming on really excited and really strong today, and some of you are going, what in the world is going on? Because we're coming back to a place to understand that there is a move of God coming to the earth today, that a people who will not consider successes and failures can be in the very presence amidst of God and lay down what I did right, lay down what I did wrong, and just know that my presence in the throne room of an almighty God will cause me to cry out. See, the word says that if you and I don't do it, that the rocks and trees will cry out. That's in there for a reason. Because we need to understand that if rocks and trees can do it, then how much more can I? And it's not because I did everything right. And it's not because I did everything wrong. Or did some things right or some things wrong. You see, there's a people out there. Some that are so close that if I were standing in the parking lot, they would hear my voice, who are looking for a place that they can come just as they are. And they don't feel that coming just as they are would evoke a judgment from someone else. They don't want to come to a place where they feel like, well, if you know, I just hadn't got all my ducks in a row. I haven't got all my I's dotted and my T's crossed. I haven't got the right clothes. I haven't got the right, you know, I mean, I've been bad. I want you to know there's a bunch of people in church today that are dressed to the nines and they've been living like the devil all week long. But thank God they're in church today. Because where else are they going to hopefully find a place to get some truth that'll change what's on the inside? But there's some people out there that are looking for a reality church. A real church. When I first stepped down as a senior pastor of a church and I went to work in a, in a Shoney's restaurant, and I was rubbing elbows with people that I've never rubbed elbows with before. And I was looking at the lifestyles, and I was looking at the hurt and the pain, and I was looking at the corruption, and I was looking at the stuff, and I was saying, Lord, these are such precious people, and you love them as much as you've ever loved me. The Lord said, would these people be comfortable in your church? Would these people attend your church just as they are? Or would you demand a change? And I said, well, Lord, you know, even if I didn't demand a change, they wouldn't have been comfortable in my church. It was never my church. You understand what I mean by that? But the church that I pastored. Then I went to work at Haverty's with a class of people that were, you know, I mean, they were pretty wealthy people, had their stuff together, had nice homes, nice automobiles, nice clothes, nice. I was in the middle of all that, and I heard the Spirit of God say, would these people have been welcomed at your church? Would these people have felt comfortable? And I thought, no, Lord, because they would have got judgment because of their lifestyles or because of their choices or because of their greed or because of their whatevers. One end to the other, it just doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And lost people act like lost people. And there's a lot of people in the church that think they're saved that still act like lost people. But at least they're in a place where there's a possibility of a change. Because I want you to know, when we get to that place in our atmosphere of our service, that we're at the very throne room of God, then it's that place that the very power and the Spirit of God, so evident in the room, brings such a atmosphere of energy and charging of who God is, that everything in the room will begin to cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of His glory. You know what glory is. Glory is the presence of God. I love when I see people do the sign language to the word glory. Because it just feels like they're just fanning the presence of God. Fanning the presence of God. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. And there's something about the glory of God that brings change. And you see, we've had it all backwards. All our thinking and the church, what the church has done for the last many, many, many years is saying, well, if you'll line up the way we think, if you'll do the do's and the don'ts that we have, then you'll be acceptable at the throne room. You'll be accepted at the throne room. And I want you to know, God sent His Son 2,000 years ago to go through everything that He went through so that every human being in this earth is accepted today just as they are. Just as we are. I've messed up. I've done some things that make most people in this room not even speak to me in the natural if they knew what I've done. But I'm not standing here today according to what I've done wrong. And I'm not standing here today according to what I've done right. I'm standing here today because I know the one who did it all right. And He accepts me just as I am. And for some reason, He placed within me a gift called pastor. Why did He entrust me with that? I don't know. I didn't do anything to deserve it. And whatever your call today is, you didn't do anything to deserve it. And God's going to use every one of us in this day and in this hour and in this move to reach a lost and dying world, not a religious one. Well, I said that all that, and I've got so many scriptures to read because I got a place I want to go. I want that to get within us first. And the post of the doors, verse 4, and the post of the doors were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, this is what the prophet said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. There's some more things that maybe down the road we'll get back to and talk about those things there. But do you know that the live coal that was sent for you and for me is the Lord Jesus Christ? And that when we get in the presence of God, there is an angel waiting to touch our lips with the life, the death, and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he touches our lips with the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it purges us of our sin and cleanses us from our unrighteousness. And what the prophet Isaiah saw is still alive and working in the presence of God today. You see, when I come into the presence of God, and it's the true presence of God, there's something about understanding that there's some things in me that has no business in front of the presence of God. And the church has tried to teach us to deny it and to even lie about it. That we would come before the presence of God and say, well, you know, I come today, and I want you to understand what I'm saying, and I want you to hear what I'm not saying. Well, I come today and I'm standing in front of God, and you know, I gotta deny all the bad stuff, because if I don't, then I'm not good enough to be in his presence and he can't move. Jackie asked a question 2 weeks ago, and when you asked it, Jackie, something exploded on the inside of me. You said, what part does faith have to do with all this? Where is faith in all of this? And when you said that, Pastor answered, but I was sitting over here and I heard as clearly as you're hearing my voice, I heard this. Faith, because Pastor said to us that life in Christ is a process. No one's arrived. If you think you've arrived, you are sadly mistaken. If I think I've arrived, I am sadly mistaken. None of us have arrived. There's only one who arrived. That's Jesus Christ. And our life in God, from the day of birth in Jesus, from the day when he touched our lips with his life, death, burial, and resurrection, the day that that happened, our life, positionally, as Pastor explained to us, positionally, we're there. But experientially and in reality, we're right here. And we all have all the baggage. We all have all the stuff that we've been carrying around for ever how many years we've been carrying it around. Amen? And the reality is, it's real. But you see, as I come to the very presence of God and continue to be touched by his life, death, burial and resurrection. Thank you, Anna. His life, death, burial, and resurrection. Then it continues to change in me the things that are not like him. But if I begin to deny them and I won't accept them and I won't understand that it's reality, then I can't be changed by the power of God. But when Jackie says, well, where does faith play in this? Or what does faith have to do with this? This is what the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, faith is the fuel for the process. Faith is the fuel for the process. You see, without fuel, some of us could live a while on what we've got extra. Right? Some of us might live longer than others. But without continuation of fuel, eventually we die. If I went out and got in my car and I drove to Monroe and I drove back to Lamplight Church and I drove back to Monroe where I live and I drove back to the church and I drove back to Monroe and back to the church, how many know by then my car is going to be out of fuel. And I can sit in it all day long and say, well, we're going to Monroe. And if there's no fuel in it, I'm not going anywhere. Because it takes something for my automobile to move. And if faith is the fuel for the process, and faith cometh by hearing, or comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, then it lets me know the most important part of my week is that I'm at a place to get the fuel for the process of getting to the throne of God so He can make the necessary change in my life. So He can make the necessary change in my life. In Hebrews, the Bible's talking about Abraham. And it's talking about the fact that through the promise that he was giving, he believed God. And that he didn't consider all the negatives. He didn't consider all the reasons why he couldn't have what was promised him. And you know, there's some folks in this room today that life has done some pretty rough stuff. Some of it we even agreed to. And we allow the stuff to keep us from coming into the fullness of what God has for us because we think we're not deserving. Or because we think we're at such a point that we can't move on. You hear that I'm saying the word we? I am not pointing a finger at anybody. This is just as real for Mike as it is for anybody in the room. It is just as real. Because the truth of the matter is, there's not anybody in this room that's not got something that they need to deal with before God. And if you think you don't, you are so deceived that the word says that the enemy looks for darkness. And Pastor Cowan taught me years ago, and that was my pastor when I was in Nashville, that any place there's darkness in your life, the enemy has legal right to traffic. And if you feel anybody in this room, if anybody in this room feels like, well, I've arrived and there's not anything that there is to work on, then we have opened the door of complete darkness for the enemy to wreak havoc in our lives. And those are the very people that when life comes and troubles hit them, those are the very people that who were one day singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Those are the very people that say, woe is me, woe is me. I cannot, you know, God is not who He says He is. He's not doing what He says He'll do. He's not this, He's not that, He's not this, because they didn't own up to the reality of what was really in their lives to allow God to change it so they could know more and more and more of what God has, because darkness will eventually expose itself in us, and when it does, we lose every time. But when we're at a place where we're ready to be honest before God, and we say, you know, there's some stuff in here that is as black can be. There's some stuff in here that is darkness. Some of it is stuff I chose to walk into. Some of it is stuff that was in the environment that I grew up in. Some of it was stuff that was going on in my lineage before I even entered my mother's womb. It's just the reality of life. And the devil himself will say to you, you're not worthy, you can't go forward, you can't have victory, you can't walk in freedom, you can't walk in deliverance, you've got to walk in addiction, you've got to walk in traps, you've got to walk in lies, you've got to walk in deceit, you've got to walk in corruption. He'll do anything he can to keep you from that place of coming before the very throne room of God, where the very atmosphere will demand that you cry out, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Let the whole earth be full of His glory. Because when you get to that point, that's when the angel says, let me touch you with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that will make the necessary change for you to walk forward in victory that you've never known before. And it wasn't because the preacher preached the right sermon. It wasn't because the teacher taught the right lesson. It wasn't because somebody else did something that changed you, but it was because you had a face-to-face encounter with the living, live today Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, somehow take what's on the inside of me and give it to me that I can have words to everybody to see what it is I'm beginning to see. And I say beginning. Charlie asked me this morning, he said, were you raised in church? And I said, yeah, I was in church before I even came out of my mother's womb. for 9 months. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday night visitation, whatever else was going on. I was in church all my life. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have a negative to say about that. Not a negative to say. I'm thankful. Yeah, I was taught some stupid stuff. Yeah, I watched some things and I experienced some things that could have been detrimental and discouraging to me. But for somehow, some reason, I just pressed through all that to realize that this is the people Jesus died for. So I'm not going to judge it and throw it all out, but I'm going to press through. And someday, somewhere, there'll be a group of people that come together who are not looking at the goods and the bads, the do's and the don'ts. They're looking to say, hey, all our attention is on who's sitting on the throne. Because there's the answer. No matter what, there's the answer. No matter what I've experienced, no matter what I'm going to experience, the answer is who's sitting on the throne today. Because I want you to know, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you might go through, it won't change who's sitting on the throne. And it won't blow him away. It won't cause him to say, oh my gosh, what in the world is she doing? What in the world was he thinking? It won't cause him to think, well, I guess, you know, I guess this is just the end. You know, there's nothing I can do for them. And he'll say, 2,000 years ago, I did exactly what she needs at this moment. And I knew that she'd be there today. I knew that he'd be at this point today. And 2,000 years ago, I fixed it. So if he'll just look to the cross, if he'll just look to my son, if he'll just look to the throne, then I can touch his lips with a coal of fire that'll make the necessary change. There's some of us who've said, how many times have I been there? How many times have I been there? But the neat thing about it is every time we get there, we find he's still there. He's still there. It didn't change him. Not how many times I've messed up, how many times I've failed, how many times I've succeeded. You know, you got to be careful, and success is great. And I believe that God desires for all of us to have success and for all of us to prosper. When we get our eyes on the success and the prosperity, we get our eyes off the throne. We got to seek first the kingdom of God. Then all the necessary will be added. And there's people who say, well, when you be a Christian like I am, you can have what I have. Makes me want to stick my finger down my throat and show them what's on the inside of me. Because the truth of the matter is, I have nothing to offer you except Christ and Christ alone. That's all I have to offer. Because any time I think I've got anything more than that to offer, I've taking my eyes off of the necessary place. The throne. The throne. Where who sits on the throne, because of who he is, because his train fills the temple, there's such an atmosphere that it causes the very angels to cry out, holy, holy, holy. I encourage you, get alone. Don't be moved by other people, other things, situations, the day, whatever. Get alone this week. And you begin in your alone place by faith, not by what you did right, not by what you've done wrong. By faith, begin to say, Father, I come to the throne room of grace. Not my own merit, but because of the one who's touched my lips, I come to the throne of grace. And I want to join the seraphim today. I just want to join the seraphim today. I just want to join in on what's going on at the throne room. Because I can. And I want to start holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. I guarantee you, if you'll find yourself at that place, something in your life will happen that will bring change like you've never known. The first thought of that is, that's too simple. The first thought of that is, well, you know, that requires, for some people, that requires something of me that I'm just not comfortable with. Well, you know what? If you'll start getting comfortable with it now, when we get to be there, it'll just be a part of who and what you are. There's a whole lot of folk that are going to get in heaven by the mere skin of their teeth. And they're going to be so uncomfortable in who they are and what they know, because they're going to have to learn how to be in the presence of God. That's why God doesn't show up in most places, because the people couldn't handle it if He did. It calls the people to do something that they're uncomfortable with in their flesh. It would cause people to have to say something that they're not sure they want to say, because God forbid something would cause me to do something that I might not want to do. I'm not letting anybody or anything tell me what I'm going to do. Then you're not going to like the presence of God. And it's not Him making us, it's His presence. It's what will come out. I don't care who you are. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you slept with, what you've been chewing on, what you've been drinking, what you've been popping. I don't care. If you get in the presence of God, it's going to cause you to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Let the earth be full of His glory. There's some people in this room, just the very action of doing that is all you need to break that chain and that bondage that's been holding us back for how many years you've been on this earth. You say, Mike, it's too simple. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've been stuck to. You don't know what's been on me. You don't know what I've been dealing with. I'm telling you, He loves you so much that all He wants you to do is come look at His face. He loves you. There's nothing you've done there's nothing you could ever do that could cause Him to love you anymore. And there's nothing you've ever done that would ever cause Him to love you any less. That's revelation for some folk today. There's nothing that you could ever do that could cause Him to love you anymore. See, that's what the church says. If you do it our way, God's going to have favor on you. If you do it our way, God's going to bless you. If you do it our way, God's going to give you. If you do it our way, and I want you to know, if you do it God's way, God's will done God's way never lacks God's power. And when God's power shows up, you're going to know prosperity in life. I'm not talking about money, but I'm talking about being able to walk out of bondage, being able to walk out of addiction, being able to walk out of poverty, being able to walk out of all the things that have held you back from being all that God has created you to be. And it's because there's a people somewhere, some way, that are going to be willing to say, come, just as you are, to worship. No judgment here. Come. Just as you are. I've been in churches where if somebody came in drunk, elders would escort them out. Now, if they're being disruptive, if they're, you know, if they're messing with the anointing, then you got to make necessary do's and don'ts, you know? Those are things that, but you know what, church? Instead of us worrying about who might show up and who might do what and what might walk through these doors, well, let the leadership deal with that. That's why God gave us pastors and elders. And if they can't handle it, then God will send us somebody who will. But I got a good feeling that, well, God will handle it. And doesn't need my judgment to be a part of it. What would happen if someone came in here and we knew that their lifestyle was not according to what everybody thinks, God thinks their lifestyle ought to be? Well, it's not our place to judge it. God's bigger. God's bigger. And you know what? He's not looking at them to say, oh, now they're in church, I can get them. He's looking for them to come through the doors to be in the presence of a people who will create such an atmosphere that the very throne of God, excuse me, I get excited and I slobber. My kids say never sit on the front row when daddy preaches because you'll get a shower before the day's over. Somebody used to tell me it was anointed. I said, well, if that were true, the front row would always be full. But there's what was I saying? I got all off track on my slobber. But there's a place when we will come together and someone can, I got it now. Someone can come through the doors that their lifestyle don't line up with what God expects it to be. That their addiction or their whatever is there. They're lying, they're deceived, they're cheating, their whatever is on them. And they come to a place where there's a people who are going to the very throne room of God. And because they go there, the very worship of God starts coming out of their being. That those people will come in and sit in the presence of the throne room of God. And the angels will say, now I can touch their lips because they're here. Now I can touch their lips because they're in an atmosphere, not of judgment, not of Pharisaism, not of do's and don'ts, but an atmosphere that is brought the very presence of God. The Word says the necessary ingredient for the presence of God to be public is that two or more show up. Whew! If there's just two of us that are showing up to go to the throne room, guess what? The presence of God shows up. If there's just two of us, now, I don't want you to know, I believe there's probably been some folk in this room that you've had a pretty bad week. And so you're coming in here today, you feel like you don't have anything to offer. Maybe there's some folks that come in here today and you say, you know, Mike, it's not just been a bad week, but I've had a bad month, I've had a bad quarter, I've had a bad year, I've had a bad decade. Some folks can say, you know, maybe I've had a bad, what is it, half a century? It's been some bad stuff, been some rough spots. But if you'll come in the presence where there's at least two people who choose to get beyond the bad stuff and go to the throne room, God says, I'm going to show up and be in their midst. I've had some folks say to me their opinion about our praise and worship. And I just love it when that happens because it just lets me know that people are where they are. And I think my personal thought is, okay, God, here's another place for people to choose to press beyond what they like and what they don't like and enter into the throne room with the body of Christ. I love it. I'd love it with a full band, a choir. I'd love it with a banjo. I'd love it with a Jew's harp. If it was before the presence of God and honoring Jesus, I'd love it if it all sounded white. I'd love it if it all sounded black. If it all sounded country, I love it if it all sounds classical. The church I went to before I came here, the reason I went there is because it was classical music. And I was trained to be a classical singer. And I love it. I love it. But you see, when our worship gets, and how many times have I said this? When our worship gets contingent upon style and music, it's no longer worship, it's just performance. But my worship is contingent upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Period. And I press through what I like and don't like and just say, I'm going to join in with whoever's here today. At least there's going to be one more and we're going to worship God. Mm-hmm. We're going to worship God. You know, I'm standing up here. I used to sit in the back, but now I sit up here because the things that go on and pastor likes for me to be up here. So I sit up here and I think sometimes, you know, they're watching this wide load guy back up here, you know, doing all this dancing and you know, and whatever it is. And then I you know, the devil will say, you look stupid. Your flesh will say, you know, you ought not be that free, you know, because you look kind of, you know, uncomfortable or it's going to make you sweat. You know, you're going, and you have to move beyond that. And it's like today we were worshiping, and I was worshiping, and I was going to the throne, and I was thinking about what we were going to sing, and I kept saying, holy, holy, holy on all these songs. I said, God, you are so amazing. And I could hear over here somebody else worshiping God. And I said, Lord, there's two of us. There's at least two of us. So if there's two of us doing that, you're showing up. You're showing up. And when you show up, the very presence of God is in the room. And it allowed the angel to touch lips with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not style. Not preference. Not my way. Not your way. God's will done God's way never lacks God's power. And what we need more in the church today, more than anything else, we need the power of God. Whether it's 20 people, whether it's 3 people, whether it's 30,000, what the church needs today is the presence of God. Pastor said a couple of weeks ago that he believed what God was doing was bringing us an atmosphere where we could be real about what's in us. Not real so we could judge one another and say, well, I didn't know Samima did that. Or I didn't know Mike did that. But so that we could be real to say, hey, I'm no different than anybody else in this room. I need Jesus as much today as I've ever needed Him in my life. And for me to make it tomorrow, I need Him as much today as I needed Him the day I became born again. I don't need Him any less because I've been born again 30 years. I don't need Him any less. I need Him as much today as I needed Him the day I met Him face to face. I had a lot of other scriptures, but I think I'm done. I had some other things that I felt like I was supposed to say, but I think I'm done. I feel a Selah in my spirit. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you're going. I don't know what's going on in you. I don't know what's happened yesterday or what's happened in the last 10 years or the last 5 years. I don't know what's hurt you. I don't know what's abused you. I don't know. You know, the enemy knows what it takes to push your button. Y'all, he's been pushing my button too. I ain't had a job in forever. But you know what? God has been my source. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving down the road and my car went boom. I said, what was that? And I was sitting on a hill, so I coasted down the hill and I coasted up in the Catholic Church parking lot. And long story short, the guy looked under my hood and he said, guess what? Your timing chain just broke. And I said, well. I said, what do you reckon that's going to cost to fix it? And I had two people tell me it's going to cost about $1,200. Then I had one precious, precious brother say to me, Mike, I'll fix your car for $750. Now, how many know $750 didn't really mean any more difference to me than $1,200? Because I hadn't had a job since September of last year. Well, I had a couple of weeks there I worked. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? Immediately I heard, don't let this steal your joy. Don't let this steal your joy. And in 2 weeks, I handed that boy $750 and he fixed my car. And so people, I had somebody yesterday say, where'd the money come from? I said, I don't know. But my God does supply all my needs. I tell some people, I say, I must be His favorite because He gets me out of so much stuff in spite of me. In spite of me. And you see, faith is the fuel for the process. When Pastor teaches us, when Brother John came and taught us, when I am doing what it is I do in here, the hope is that the words that come out of our mouths will bring a place for each of us to say, that's faith, I'm going to take it. Because I need the fuel for my process. I'm not where I want to be. Thank God I'm not where I used to be. But I'm getting something today to get me further from where I am. Because where I am is not enough. It's just not enough. Wow. I sense the presence of God, church. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Pastor, I want you to play that song. I want you to listen to the words of this song. With your eyes closed, I'll tell you when to start it. Just a second, Pastor. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to listen to the words of this song. The enemy's going to say to you, first of all, oh, if so-and-so had been here, that would have been good for them. The enemy's going to say to you, you've heard that all before and it ain't made a difference. Life is going to say to you, it's just an emotional high. Don't worry about it. Mike gets emotional. It's nothing for you. I want you to hear these words for you. For you. And understanding that this attitude that this man is singing, these words that are coming forth, this attitude comes from being in the presence of God. Not your successes, not your failures. The presence of God.
Of sin, you took this broken life and made it whole again. Then your spirit came, and all your feet, and there I promised you that I'm completely yours the rest of all my days, and this eternal I give to you.
That's what happens in the presence of God. Not because we did something, but His presence will bring us into an atmosphere that we become completely His. And y'all, I don't stay completely His because I did it right. I don't stay completely His because I make all the right choices. I stay completely His because He's big enough and powerful enough and awesome enough, and He wants me. He does it. I can't preach enough to keep you. Pastor can't teach enough to keep us. But God knew you before the foundation of the world. And He loved you enough. He says, I sent my Son so He could touch your lips. And He could make the necessary change. And if He does it, it's eternal. You say, Mike, I've messed up. So have I. It don't matter how many times you mess up. It matters how many times you get back up. Had somebody tell my daughter in 2002, your daddy's going to hell. She wrote me a letter. She said, Daddy, please don't go to hell. And I called her on the phone and I said, honey, I want you to understand something. I don't go to heaven and I don't go to hell based on what other people think. I go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. And honey, no matter what I've done or what I haven't done, Jesus is bigger than all of it. And your daddy is saved and I'm going to heaven. And I want you to know that. Hold on, y'all. God is doing something in our midst that is going to change you. It's going to change me. Because where I am is not enough. And He's bigger than where I am. And the truth is, I have messed up. Y'all, I messed up this week. God's bigger than my mess up. I told you, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is David. David messed up big time. And not just once. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. My desire above everything is that when my father sees me, he says, Mike, he doesn't say, Mike, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. But he would say, Mike, through it all, you were a man after my own heart. And I can call you friend. That's what he said about David. It's a pretty awesome example. Lord, thank you for the last 3 weeks. Thank you, Father, for a people who are willing to press through likes and dislikes, success and failures, ups and downs, having money, not having money, but for people who choose to say, I'm going to be at church Sunday. And I'm going to find somebody that will go to the throne room with me so we can cry out, holy, holy, holy. And that you will show up to see who they are. And that your very presence is all that is necessary to do the complete change. I have a debt to you that there's not enough money in this world. There's not enough time left in my years. there's not enough energy in this body to repay it. But you took care of that 2,000 years ago. So now, by faith, I find a place to rest in it and to allow you to keep doing what you came to do. Lord, I sense in my spirit that there's somebody here today that's on the, that has been on the very last of their hope. As a matter of fact, they've already gotten beyond it. And they've gotten to a place that they just have no hope. My prayer today is that your word will bring the seed of faith to their heart, and that in their heart, it'll start dealing with their mind. And that today, they'll begin to get beyond their disappointment and start coming into what you can do even now. Yes, Lord. We submit to you. We trust you. You're bigger than Pastor Don. You're bigger than me. You're bigger than anything or anybody else in this room who has been or who hasn't been or who is not. That, Lord, our prayer is that you'll find a people who just choose to come together on Sunday morning in this place, that we can join by faith the fuel that you've put in us through your word to honor you, to hear from you, and to allow you to do what's necessary in the lives of people around us. Bring them in, Lord. Bring in the good, the bad, the ugly. Bring in the lost. Bring in the deceived. Bring in the addicted ones. Bring in the ones that nobody else wants. And God, would you find in this place a people who are not looking at the natural, but looking at the provision of Jesus Christ. That we can worship you, and that you will do a miracle in our midst. In us and in them. And we give you thanks and glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen.